I hope you have your Bible with you this morning and you'll find Luke's Gospel, the fifth chapter. We're getting toward the end of the fifth chapter, some would say finally. If you're visiting with us this morning, there's a card that looks a little bit like this in the pew back in front of you. We'd love to have a record of your visit with us. We thank you for being here. We know there's lots of great places that you could find yourself on a Sunday morning. And we're so grateful that you would choose to be here in this place with us. As I prepared this week, I was thinking about this story. And I think about the great God who comes to save and to redeem. And I was reminded of this story from my childhood. I grew up in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, or at least much of my growing up was there, and there are so many rivers and lakes, and you know the Cascade Mountain Range kind of divides the state of Oregon. We lived on the western side of the Cascades, down in the Willamette River Valley. To our west was the coastal mountain range. So we lived down in this very sheltered area of the state where the streams ran cold and clear. When I was in high school, some buddies and I would travel in the summertime fairly frequently to a river, the Santiam River. It flows into the Willamette River out of the Cascade Mountains, and it literally is so clear that you can stand way above the river and look down into the river and you could count the pebbles at the bottom of 20 feet of water. It's just absolutely crystal clear, and we were just knucklehead enough to know that there wasn't anything down there but water, and so we should just jump into it, no matter how high it was. Well, on this particular occasion, my friend Ed he'd left me behind for some reason. I had to work, or I was grounded for doing something stupid or something. But Ed was without me on this particular trip, and he was up jumping off the bridges and the cliffs like we enjoyed doing, and there was a kid there that day who went a little higher up the cliff than we would normally have gone, and he jumped down into the river and went to dog paddling, This particular event happened at a kind of a waterfall, and he got caught in the current of that water, and he was either hurt or out of breath or whatever, and he got caught up in that current, and so Ed watched, and Ed was a great swimmer, and he jumped into the water to go help this kid out. And instead of reaching a hand out to Ed, he reached both hands out and pulled Ed under. He couldn't fight him. And so Ed swam back to shore, and somebody had a cooler, and he dumped the contents of the cooler, and he threw the cooler out, and the kid couldn't get to where the cooler was, and that current began to move the boy, and he came around, and Ed saw that he was going under, and Ed came along the side of the river down low, right beside the water where the current was going to take that boy, and Ed reached out his hand. Aren't you glad that we have a God who reaches down? There's this story, and it's about this God who reaches down. Look at this story of the apostle whose name is Matthew, also called Levi. Here, Luke refers to him as Levi. It starts in the 27th verse, and it's such a simple, short story about a life that was changed by a redeeming God. Verse 27 and follow, following say these words. After this, he went out and he saw a tax collector named Levi. He was sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." It was all he said, "Follow me." And then these words follow, "And leaving everything, Levi rose and followed Jesus. And Levi made a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled at the disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' And Jesus answered them and said, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance.'" Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this account of this man who was called to follow. Father, speak to our hearts on this morning. Father, would we be found so faithful that we too might follow, that we too might have our lives redeemed, that we too might have this incredible obedience and love that Levi shared. Thank you for this story. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It occurs to me that Matthew is every man, that he's us. It occurs to me that Matthew is, he's just a guy who gets up in the morning, pulls his trousers on, and goes to work. He's a guy who has a family. He's a guy who's living the American dream. He's got 3 bedrooms and a bathroom. He's got a car in the garage. He's every man. He's just a hard-working guy who does what he's supposed to do. Yes, Matthew is a tax collector. Matthew's got a job that ticks a lot of people off, but from Matthew's perspective, Matthew is just a hard worker who's playing the hand that he got dealt. He is a tax collector because that's the job that he has. He is just doing the best he can. Matthew's not a bad guy. Matthew's just going to work every day. And on this particular day, at this account, we see every man, Matthew, at work. He's doing what he knows how to do, and he's doing it well. Matthew was a tax collector. Tax collectors in that day paid a fee to the government in order to have their franchise. They bought the franchise, and in this particular case, Matthew was a toll taker. He had a toll booth that was on a highway. It was a busy highway from the north to the south, and he had a good business. He sat in his booth, and as people came by, he would look in the camel caravans. He would look in their backpacks. He would say, "Well, that's about worth this," and so the tax on that stuff that's coming through. He knew silk. He knew spices. He knew the things that ran up and down the highways, and he would estimate what the cost should be that they might be able to travel the highway. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. Matthew, yes, he had bought the franchise, and though we're not certain if Matthew was the one who would say, "Well, the tax is about $1, but I think I'll charge you $3 today." Well, the guy who was carrying the cargo, he had no other choice but to pay $3, even though he knew he should only have to pay $1 because he had the Roman army standing behind Matthew, and if he didn't pay the tax, he was going to jail. And so Matthew may have been that guy, maybe like Zacchaeus that we read about in Luke 19, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and it says, and he was rich. He got rich probably because he'd built too many people. He was a crook. He was stealing from people. He was taking what didn't really belong to him, but it was common. That was just the way the business worked. Hey, he bought the franchise and he could charge whatever he wanted to charge. Matthew, though, here, he's in this picture and he's just every man. He's just a hard worker. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's got friends and he's got enemies. Matthew is me. And Matthew is you. And on this day, he has this life-altering experience because the Redeemer comes and says, I choose you. Follow me, Matthew. Follow me. And by the way, you know, we know this same account happened with a bunch of fishermen. We know Peter and James and John and Andrew, they left their fishing boats behind. And by the way, later on, we see them in fishing boats again. But Matthew, when he leaves his toll booth, there's no backing up. There's no, you know, a fisherman, he could just go out and get a net and he could start making money again. But Matthew, he gave up his tax collecting business. He walked away from it. And when he walked away from it, he left it all behind. There was no going back. When Jesus said, follow me, Matthew had this radical experience and his life was forever altered. It was forever changed. So that's the story. I want you to see this story and the whole of what I read. And as I read this story, I see four people that play a part in this story. And the first person in this story is the one who we're going to call Wretched. He's Matthew. He's the other tax collectors. Their lives are marked by sin and shame. They are dead in their trespasses. They're wretched men. They are lost and undone. They are men who are destined to a devil's hell. They are wretched in their lives. They are broken. They are lost. They are far from where God wants them to be. Their lives are marked by the wreckage and the ruin of bad choices, of selfishness, of self-centeredness. They are wretched. We know these things. We know from the book of Romans, we know that all have sinned. That's me and you. That's Matthew. That's every man. All have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. We know that from chapter 3 and verse 23. We know what 6:23 says. For the wages of sin is death, but the wages of sin for Matthew was death, but Jesus came along and said, I want to pick you up. I want to pull you up. I want to redeem you. I want to save you. The wages of sin is death, but the Redeemer comes and says the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Chapter 5 and verse 8 says that God saw us when we were wretched. He saw Matthew when he was sitting in the tax collector's booth. He saw me. He saw you while we were wretched. But God commends his love toward us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for everybody else except me. No, he's got your name there. While you were still a sinner, Christ died on your account. Praise the Lord. And in the 10th chapter, he says, it is so simple that we want to make it so hard. We want to lay out all the rules and the regulations. And Paul says it this way. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And he says earlier, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And then he challenges us by saying we should not be conformed to this world, but that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is that good and perfect will of him who's called us, who's redeemed us, who's reached down to us. We see so clearly our names, our lives written on the pages of this story. We are wretched. There's a second person in this story, and I'm going to call him religious. When I was, I was probably late junior high or early high school, Carla's sister was my Sunday school teacher. Not this sister, Molly, but another one of the sisters. Martha was my Sunday school teacher, and she brought a book for training union. I just dated myself. She brought a book for training union, and the title of the book was How to Be a Christian Without Being Religious. It's a commentary of the book of Romans. I don't know if it's still in print, but it was a simple commentary of the book of Romans. How to be a Christian without being religious. The Pharisees of that day, the scribes, the Sadducees, these religious rulers, they were religious about a lot of things. You know, I'm religious about brushing my teeth in the morning. I'm religious about certain things. They were religious about life. They lived life by the regulation. They were holy if holiness was a measure of doing what the law said you needed to do. They were religious about the law. Look at the next chapter, chapter 6. It starts this way. On the Sabbath, while he, Jesus, was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them out in his hands. Well, that doesn't sound so bad, does it? You're walking through the fields and here's a grain of wheat, and you pluck that out and maybe you chew on the straw for a little while, and then you're just mindlessly going through the fields, and you take that grain of wheat and you kind of rub it out and you blow a little of that husk away, that chaff, and when you get it down to just the seeds, you pop it in your mouth and you gnaw on that grain, and it's still a little damp in it, and you get stuck in your molars. You ever done that? Doesn't sound so bad, but listen as you go on in that story, because in verse 2, the religious among them have a reason that's wrong. The rule says you can't do that. Some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath?" They were harvesting on the Sabbath day. They were working. That was illegal. You can't do it that way. They were religious. There's another place where the Pharisees and the scribes come to Jesus, and they ask him why his disciples were not obeying the traditions. You see, they were eating with clean dishes. That was not the issue. The dishes weren't grimy and nasty, but they hadn't been ceremonially cleaned. And so the Pharisees rebuked Jesus because his disciples had not kept the jot and tittle of the law. They were religious about lots of things, but maybe we shouldn't beat them up too badly. If you look in Matthew's account of the story that we've read, it's found in the 9th chapter. And in that account, Matthew records about this same story. He comes to the end of all of that, and he quotes Jesus as saying, this is in chapter 9, verse 13, Jesus looked at them and said, "Go and learn what it means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Of course, he's quoting from Hosea 6, chapter 6. "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." I wonder today, while we're beating up on the religious rulers of that day, if we might pause for just a moment and remember that we are the religious rulers of the 21st century. And I wonder if Jesus were to come into our Sunday school classes and into our worship center, I wonder if he might point out some areas where we've skipped relationship and gone to religion. Quit preaching and start meddling there. But I wonder. I see in this story the wretched, and I see the religious, and I see the repentant. Levi, Matthew, when he was told, would you follow me? When he was invited by Jesus, would you follow me? He would make a change in his life. He would turn from following after his own selfish and sinful desires, and he would make a 180 degree change in his life. That's what repentance is. It's turning away from and turning to. He turned away from what he had had as the motivating factors in his life. He'd been chasing his own pleasures and his own passions, and he turned and he followed Jesus. You remember that story that Jesus told? He told the parable of the tax collector who went into the temple at the hour of prayer. And the story that Jesus tells includes another one that was there. He was the Pharisee. And the Pharisee comes and he marches right up to the front and he raises his hands up so that everyone could see. And he loudly confesses his sins before God. Oh, I don't have any sins, do I? You just made me so good, God. I'm so glad I could help you out. I'm adding words to the story there. But isn't that the crux of it? The Pharisee comes before Jesus and just proclaims his holiness and righteousness and says, look at me. While at the same time, the tax collector, the publican, would find himself behind the back row on his knees. And he couldn't even raise his head to look. He just beat his chest and whimpered, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We see in this story this man whose name is Matthew, who begins to walk the life, the walk, the journey of one who would repent. And lastly, this morning in this story, this fourth person in the story is none other than the Redeemer. Don't miss Jesus. Because it was Jesus who made his way by the tax collecting booth. It was Jesus whose eyes caught the eyes of Levi. It was Jesus who made the invitation. I see you behind your tax collecting desk. I see you where you live. I know your hurts. I know your pains. I know your struggles. But I choose you. Would you follow me today? And Jesus, he is the Redeemer. He's the one who would pick us up. He would pluck us out of the stormy waters. He would change our lives. He would redeem us. He would pay our debts, the debts that we owe but will never be able to pay, and the debt he would never owe but be the only one who was able to pay. Jesus, the Redeemer, comes into this story, even as he comes into my life and into your life. I left you hanging on the story of my friend Ed. Ed had come down off of the, the cliff, and he'd made his way right down beside the water. The current had carried the boy this direction, and it was going to shoot him by just any minute right here. And Ed said, I reached as far as I could reach. There was another kid behind me holding my belt. I reached out and I touched his fingers. And I missed. And I watched him in that cold, clear water go down for the last time and be rushed down through the current, gone. I just wonder this morning, Levi could have said, I got more money to make. I got more business to do. I got more taxes to collect. I wonder today. I wonder about you. Let's pray. Father, move among us for your glory. Father, call us to live the repentant life, to turn from those things that we once followed, to follow you obediently. Father, we thank you for South Georgia Baptist Church and what you're doing here. Father, we thank you for how you're working among us. We pray that you'd be glorified in each decision that might be made today. We thank you in his name, we pray. Amen. Would you stand as our musicians lead us in this hymn of invitation? You know the drill. You know that the Holy Spirit is the one who's giving the invitation today. We invite you to come as we sing.